Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison, former NFL player, now climbing the seven summits, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. Okay, look, 7-8 years ago, I had to step into the fear and put a big-ass goal out there, and so I decided to start climbing all these crazy mountains around the world. It's been an absolute amazing journey. And, you know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I've actually done 6 of the 7. I've actually been on Denali twice. I've been on climb successfully Kilimanjaro twice. But now it's Mount Everest, the biggest boy on the block, 29,000 plus. And I'm headed over there April 2020. And I'm totally keyed up. And I'm keyed up because I've been doing all this preparation. I train like an absolute bear. And, really putting myself in a position of success. I'm going to be climbing with one of the top climbing outfitters in the world. Excited about that. And just the mountain has fascinated me for years, I'm sure like others, but really excited to do so. And so if I can actually pull this thing off, I'd be the first NFL player to do so. And so as we speak today, there's not that many first in the world. So I look forward to tackling that. Okay, so that's one. Two is I totally appreciate the listen on these different podcasts. I really do. And it's been an amazing journey, as I said, from not just interviewing these people, but being on the other side of the mic and really taking in their incredible stories of doing amazing things. And look, we all need to be inspired. And so if I can help provide and find more people that meet that criteria, all the better. And it just, we all need that motivation, and we all need that those words of encouragement that you can make it back relevant to your own situation and then plow forward in whatever endeavor you are trying to do. Okay, so I appreciate that. And if you want to find out anything that I have going on, you can do so at markpattisonnfl.com. I've got a book out now called Finding Your Summit, go figure. And it is essentially the playbook to what I had learned from my Hall of Fame coaches on how to emerge and do some great things in your life. It doesn't have to be mountain climbing, of course. It can be anything, but it's a plug-in that you take on these different things, these different goals, that these different strategies that I've set forth, that they set forth for me. And good things can come from that. Okay. Also on the website, you can find out more about my expedition. Obviously, I'll be going to Mount Everest, and we'll have more information about that coming up. There's an e-learning course and, of course, the podcast. And when you go to the podcast, you will find an iTunes tab. And I would be so grateful if you go in and you'd rate and review. Now, it all has to do with visibility, popularity of podcasts, because there's so many podcasts out there today that it's so easy to get lost and like, wait, where's Finding Your Summit? And I think I really do believe these stories are really amazing and incredible and can really give a lift to those people who really need it. And even if you don't, we all need to be motivated and inspired by other people to keep going. So if you'd go in and do that, I would be really, really appreciative. Okay, so let's go listen to the pod. It's going to be awesome. Here we go. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison back again with a very inspirational podcast. I'm so jacked up to have this particular person. I actually have no idea as I sit here how I found her, but at the end of the day, I did, and I think it came through
because I saw something via Oprah, who considered her one of the five ambassadors of hope on the planet. And anybody who has that type of title, especially with Oprah and from Oprah, I want to be friends with and have her on the pod. So, Marilla, Scott, how are you doing? And welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mark. I am awesome. I'm awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I know that we don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about this, but you know, I think this from a baseline of how you got into this position, and we'll get into why Oprah apparently wanted to call you one of the ambassadors of hope. And a lot of your life has been around inspiration and happiness and gratitude and how you really seek those things and how you go after those. And you've written several books. We'll get into all that kind of stuff. But I think kind of like as a baseline, and we'll just set this, we'll move on. But there is a childhood of that you experienced where it didn't sound like you grew up in the best positive environment, to say the least. And that's where a lot of how your life has become has evolved from.
You know, you're right, Mark. One of the things that I tell people is that although I didn't grow up in a very positive environment from that aspect, there was a lot of abuse, a lot of dysfunction, and a lot of things happened that when I shared my story, my first book that I wrote, it actually caught the attention of Oprah Winfrey, because what I was teaching people is to look at the signs and notice the signs of an abuser so you can alleviate them. Why go into a relationship or meet someone and see all these warning signs and dismiss them? So I spent a lot of years talking about that and helping other people overcome that, which is how I became Oprah's Ambassador of Hope, one of her five worldwide. And it really helped me get my messaging out to work with other people and help them. So
yeah, I know that makes a lot of sense. So when you go back though, I mean, and you're talking about having that inspiration of trying to get out, and you're talking about relationships, right? That how do you, like, everybody goes into relationships and people, at least I do, with I don't go into it with my defense mechanism system set up, right? I go into it having, like, whatever they tell me, I just take as, okay, I understand that, and I take that in, and I'm assuming that whatever they're saying is true, right? I don't go in from the other side. So like how and why would somebody walk into a relationship with, like, watching out, like, they get a check off this is, obviously we get to know people on different levels as they come, right? But at the same time, like, how does that work? I mean, what kind of defense system do you have up that you can help recognize these different things?
Well, you know, I'm kind of like you. I really don't have a defense system up. I kind of used just basically it's common sense, because those warning signs are there. Like, if you see a stop sign, you're driving, you stop.
Yeah.
If you know, a red light, you stop. If you see another car flash in front of you, you're going to stop. So yes. You pay attention to what's going on around you. Then it's basically, you don't really have to walk through life with your guard up, because I don't do that. You're missing a lot of beautiful things and you're misjudging people. Yeah. If you do that, I start from a clean slate until you show me something. Yeah. And then if that's the case, when that happens, you pay attention. Like, does that hit my core? Is that right to me? And if the answer is no, it doesn't feel right, it isn't right. And so people second guess themselves and push past their defenses, you know, kind of like warning signs. They ignore them. And so I teach people, I used to years ago talk about how to not ignore those warning signs when you see them and pay attention to them. So, it's just basically, it's just being present. It's about being present.
Yeah. I think that's a hard word. I think it's an easy word to say. And I think one of the reasons why there's so much anxiety and stress in this country and in the world is because as individuals, you're so caught up in what happened in the past, you're so caught up in what might happen in the future that cause you these different feelings of, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened, or it's about to happen, or will it happen, and all these other things, versus just living in the moment. And you hear this all the time, and it's just so hard to do.
You know, for me, given my background, it was easy for me to do, because I looked at people, and initially, you know, it takes a while to get past that. So it's easy for me to do now. When I look at the years it took for me kind of being cautious and whatnot, I realized what I was missing. I wasn't present, because if you're worrying about what will happen, you're not present. You're in the future. And if you're thinking about what happened to you before, you're in the past. So you're not present. So you're missing what reality is giving you, what's in front of you now. And it's kind of about, you know, making good decisions and just good choices. People say, well, I didn't know, I didn't see that coming. Sure, most of the time you do. Sometimes you don't, but most of the time, yeah, we kind of do. We just make the decision to overlook it and think that either A, we can change someone or do something about it or whatnot. But for me, I tell people, I said, you know, one of the best ways to live your life is to do just that. That little word that seems so hard to do is be present. Notice what's around you. It's kind of one of those things that police officers are trained when they go into buildings and restaurants, they sit in a restaurant facing the door so they can see what's coming at them. Why? Because they need to be present. They need to know what's going on. Same thing with your life. Pay attention to what's happening around you and you'll know if you need to vacate a situation. You know, it's kind of like when they tell you a hurricane's coming or, you know, or you have a warning about a tsunami or something that's catastrophic, earthquake. There are warnings, but do people pay attention to them? Do they heed those warnings? So when you're talking about living a life, if you want to be happy in your life, live in the present. If it doesn't feel right, it's not right. It's not. And that's the best way to kind of pay attention. And if it feels right, then evaluate it and see where it goes until it doesn't feel that way anymore. But if you build a wall so high, you're going to miss life. Can't do that based on what happened.
Yeah. You know, no, I mean, there's a lot of things in there. You know, so I went through a probably a 10-year pretty rough patch. It got worse as it went on. It ultimately ended up for me in divorce. And so that was not a pleasant time in my life. And so as I was being present, as I was like, how in the hell did I get in this situation? And why is this happening? It was just very hard because I was being present and present was bringing me pain and agony. And it was not fun to be me at that particular time. Yet, as I looked in the future, I was saying, I mean, I have no idea where this thing is going. It looks like, you know, it's going to go off a cliff. And I was looking behind like, oh my gosh, you know, does it really have to be this hard? So I was kind of being in the present, playing in the past, going in the future. And I was having such a hard time getting out of that spot. And that was, and I still don't know. I mean, ultimately time, you know, it all sorted itself out. And maybe that was the answer. But what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it could be, but it's one of the things that about relationships is that we stay attached to them only if we refuse to let go of them. And that's one of the things sometimes trying to figure out what happened, what went wrong, what should we have done? How did this happen? We're so busy trying to figure out something that sometimes has nothing to do with us. Sometimes it's the person and it's not a resolve that we're ever going to have. And so if we spend time trying to figure out what went wrong, we can't move on. And we compare everything to that. With me, when things happen, okay, that was a lesson. You learn from it and you move and you keep going. Life is so ginormous and so big. There's so much more to do than sit and try and worry about why something didn't work or why it happened. Because everything we do on this journey, it's part of the lesson to help us evolve into the person we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And we learn from it. And sometimes that learning may not be instant, but in hindsight, you know, we can turn around and look at it maybe 10 years from now, maybe 2 years from now, and say, wow, I get it. Because we had to continue on our journey and go through the process of understanding it so we can reflect and say, I get it now. How many times do you look back and see something and say, wow, I didn't see that then? Same thing about relationships. Same things about people. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said. And I really like what you said about having really go through it. You can't go around it, over on top of it, or, you know, underneath it. I've got this playbook that I wrote, and it's a step-by-step guide to help you unleash your potential, achieve your goals, and live your purpose, right? And that, I think going back to what you were just saying about it just takes time to get there. I can tell you this for sure, that I'm so much more equipped today having gone through those different things than I was 10 years ago, right? There's no way I could be doing this podcast, Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way, if I hadn't had to find my own way, right? And gone through all that and have some life's moments to reflect back on too. So when I'm talking to people, I actually have something to say and contribute to the conversations as well. I don't know everything, but it certainly, I guess what I'm saying is that time has had an interesting play on, at the time when you're in it, you think, you know, Rome is burning, and you look back on things and you go, you know, really, actually it wasn't that bad. And, but it's perspective, right? So go ahead.
You know, Mark, it's kind of like when you, if you burn yourself or you get a cut, you break your leg. It's part of the process for it to heal. It takes time. You break your leg, it's not going to be fine the next day just because they put a cast on it. You take the cast off and it's ready. Everything has a process, and that's part of what our life is about. We go through that process, and the things that hurt us most are supposed to help us get stronger. Those are lessons right there. And when things happen to me, I sit and I'm like, okay, why did that happen? I reflect on it. And then I look for that lesson. I look for the answer. And if I don't know, I file it and I continue on my journey. And then when I need to reference it, I'm like, this is what I was supposed to learn. But it's just, it's part of our process to go through things, because we all have an individual journey that things happen to us that are painful, that are devastating. You know, we deal with loss, we deal with dysfunctional relationships and friendships, and you know, but then we have joy and happiness and accomplishments and success. And so it's all a part of the process. The way we take the good, we are meant to take the bad too. We love the good, but we don't, and we reflect on that and say, wow, I had a great time doing this, but we don't want to say, wow, that was a hard lesson and I learned this. And we need to do more of that so we can continue on a healthier path. The sooner we learn that lesson, the less likely we are to repeat it again. And healing can begin when you invest in learning. One of the things I tell people is invest in your life. Invest in taking time to sit and go walk the beach and reflect on what you did that day, or what you're doing with your business, or where your path has taken you. Reflect on your journey, where you've been, where you're going, and where you are right now in relationship to all of that. And if you're still hurting over something that happened in the past, you got to stop and pause and say, okay, how do I get help to work through this better? Maybe you can't do it alone. And sometimes it's good to talk to a therapist or reach out to someone that can help you hear what you're saying. That's why I think therapists are great. My daughter's a therapist, you know, and I think it's awesome because, you know, what they do is they don't really tell you how to fix your life. They let you hear. They let you hear yourself and you work through your own issues. They just listen. A lot of times in society, Mark, people don't listen to us. And we just, you know, if we have a chance to kind of speak and say, this is what's hurting me or this is what I'm dealing with, sometimes you hear the truth or the lack of the truth come out and it helps you. So I think it's just part of our process, and healing does come when we reconcile with it.
Hey, this pod is sponsored by Laird Superfoods. So many products to choose from your InstaFuel, your coffee, your tea, your smoothies. And I love the superfood creamer and use the hydration powders like the beets, the coconut, the matcha, the turmeric to mix all into my 7 Summit smoothie. And it's so good. Log on to LairdSuperfood.com and get your 20% off when you use the code MarkP20, okay? So get your Laird Superfood, and I guarantee it will help fuel your journey.
I love that. So to me, it's also through the lens of which you want to see life through. There's a great dude, I played football with the Raiders, Jerry Robinson, All-American, All-Pro, All-Everything, you know, just a fantastic person. I had him on the pod. I said, Jerry, how are you doing? This is the opening line. And he goes, Mark, I got to tell you, every single day I wake up with an attitude of gratitude. Right. And it was just so profound yet so simple. And like we all get hits and, you know, he certainly had his. But I think if you start there with an attitude of gratitude and you see things for the goodness in what life can be, it makes these bumps so much easier, because then again, it goes back to that perspective, right? Of like, well, maybe that wasn't so bad, or at least maybe it was that, but this is really bright in my life. This flower that's out in my garden or something, you know, some mountain or some experience that you've had with somebody else, one of your friends, that really makes those things go forward. And so I wanted to ask you about the book with gratitude. Hopefully I'm saying it the right way. And it has a lot of poetry and other things that are in there. But like, how did you come up? First of all, it's a phenomenal title. It's so simple. I love that whole word about gratitude, because it really does put you in a humble position and puts you like in servant leadership to other people on showing the path that nothing has to be, you know, a disaster. Not everything has to be a disaster. And that there is, you know, the other side of life. But tell me what was going on there and how you came up with it and what this compilation of poetry and other sayings are all about.
Absolutely. The reason I wrote it is that I was communicating with my agent and he just said, hey, you know, when your signature, your email signature it's signed with gratitude. He said, why is that? And I said, well, because I want people to know I appreciate their time. I appreciate if they ask me something or a question or to speak, come out and speak or whatever, I appreciate them. So I want them to see that I have gratitude for that communication. And he said, can you write a book of poetry? I said, yeah. And he said, what would you call it? I said, with gratitude. And so the reason being is that I explained to him and I tell people, we have moments throughout our day to appreciate things, to show gratitude. But we miss them because going back to our earlier conversation, we're not present. When someone holds the door for you, we walk through it as if we're entitled. We don't pause and really have gratitude for it. Even if we throw our hand up and say, thanks, we didn't really mean it. Thank you sometimes is pacifistic. It's just a quick response. But it doesn't mean as much in society today as I think it did when I was a kid. When you say thank you, really meant it. But now we're such a busy society, we take things for granted even more so. And so we look at our life and people say how negative it is and how bad it is. But, you know, we deal with a lot of things. Even in life, we have loss. We lose people and people grieve. You're grieving because you had them and you love them. But look inside and have gratitude for having had those people that you love, the experiences that you had with them. You look at the time, you know, I think about kids with their parents and they're like, hey, come help me fold laundry. Sometimes your mom just wants to spend time with you and you think it's work, but that's sometimes the way to get you to bond, just to be and have that moment with your child. And so we look at people, our friends, sometimes, you know, there are situations that we can't help everyone with. We can't fix their problems, but there are people that may sit down with you and say, here's what you need to do, or let me take you to this person. And they connect you to the person that can help you. Show gratitude for people that care enough to hear you and take you where you need to be, even if they couldn't help you. Sometimes people are so busy wanting money. If you want to help me, give me money, you know, material things. Yeah. But there's so much more in gratitude when you look at it. It's a deeper sense of appreciation for what is. And a lot of times gratitude should be shown for the things that you don't see, you know, you don't pay attention to. I get out of bed every morning, Mark, and my feet hit the ground. I can walk. I can see. I can smell. I can hear. And I have gratitude for all of those things. When I walk the beach, I can hear the sounds of the waves crashing. And there's so much that we take for granted that we've become an entitled society. But when you pause to appreciate those things, oh my God, like life is so much more rewarding because you're not focused on the negative anymore. Yeah. You're focused on the good.
So I have been involved in the project with Chris Long, who recently retired from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's the son of Howie Long, and he's involved in the project called Water Boys. And so he's the founder. He and another guy named Nate Boyer started it 4 years ago or so. And their original mission was to build and fund 32 different water wells down in Tanzania, in the Serengeti, for the people in the Maasai tribe. And so I guess it would be 2 or 3 years ago now, I was invited to go down there and participate. We raised a bunch of money. We're with other NFL football players and military folk. And we actually went into these villages. And so I've told this story before in terms of me being involved in this, but what I don't know if I've included was that the happiness factor was off the roof. And what we did is we were bringing in water wells so that they could go over to a faucet and turn it on and clean water would come out. So these young girls didn't have to walk 5 miles with 5 gallon buckets on their head and be attacked or raped or something else awful from these other people that were out there. And the whole point is, as we're going by their houses, but their huts, there are these wood, there's, you know, all the floors were on dirt, and these kids didn't have a whole lot. Their currency is a goat. The way that they would trade their goods and services, where they'd have these little markets, and they all come together, and there's a form of families bonding and everything else. And it was literally like being back 2,000 years ago. And I've never seen people so flippin' happy because it was all about what they had amongst each other, and not about the things that they were trying to either possess or they didn't have. It was remarkable.
And you know what? That's the biggest takeaway from it, is that when sometimes people have less, they appreciate more. We have so much. I mean, even when you think you don't have much, you have so much more than so many other people in this world. And we take it for granted, so we don't have time to appreciate the things that we should. And so there's kind of, like you said, just water, you know, running from a faucet, fresh water. We brush our teeth and let the water run and waste. And it's kind of like, it's where do we draw the line to say, we have so much that we need to appreciate. How do you do that? When do you do that? We don't do it enough.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So give me, like, you know, so I 5 minutes ago, I said this buddy of mine, this Raider teammate, Jerry Robinson, his attitude of gratitude, that was his saying, right? Mm-hmm. And from this collection of poetry within the book With Gratitude, do you have, give me one saying or give me some little nugget that warms your heart when you came up with it, when it comes out of your mouth, when you deliver it to other people?
You know, I tell people, I say, you don't understand why things take so long, but it's things had to happen. Everything had to fall apart for it to get your attention. And it's called avalanche. And I love that because a lot of times people don't realize that when you're in the midst of adversity, since, you know, you talk about adversity, mm-hmm. sometimes that's the only thing to make you kind of humble yourself and realize where you are so you can slow down, pay attention to how you got there so you can work yourself out of it and learn from it. And things happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason, but we need to understand those moments that are the hardest bring us sometimes the best lessons. They
really do. Yeah, you know, there's another thing too. This is, I had another guy on the pod and I've spent a lot of time really understanding and realizing the greatness of a basketball coach, John Wooden. And yeah. He's come up with all kinds of different things, you know, the pyramid of success, which I've talked about. But, you know, the other thing that he said too, and I think this all plays into it, and I didn't think about it from this standpoint until you and I started talking about this, but when you were talking about, or actually when John Wooden, Coach Wooden was talking about to improve yourself, surround yourself with five people that will, that are essentially better than you, not better than you financially, that are pulling you up, right? And constantly reevaluate that circle. So if there's somebody that's pulling you down, they're going through a bad time for whatever reason, you know, you don't get caught in that mess and they, you know, emotionally pull you into that and it becomes a big energy drain. Not that you can't help people, but you know, it's just this whole notion of constantly reevaluation. And I think when that happens, that you don't have any other choice but to be present about thinking about, are you surrounding yourself with the best people? And I think, like, at least in my life, that circle has changed, or it has evolved, or there's been some new people that have been added into that. They're like, that guy's interesting, and or that gal's interesting, and I want to, you know, understand more about where they're coming from. And I think they could actually, I could learn a lot from that person.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I constantly evaluate my circle as well. And it's very tight for that reason, because one, I don't allow negativity in. And it doesn't mean people don't have a chance or you don't give them opportunity to go through things, because we all go through things in our life. You know, it doesn't mean I don't have sympathy for it, because we should, but does it mean you allow it to come in and disrupt your peace and your energy? No, you don't. And so my philosophy on that is that if you come to me and you have an issue and you want me to help you with it, I'm going to help you. I may not be the person to get it done, but I can help you find what you need. And that's one of the things I talk about in having gratitude. We always have people around us that do want to help us. But when you have people in your circle and your network that are negative, you can't allow that energy to disrupt all of it, because it, once it begins to infect you, it goes on to the next person. So you have to protect your network. I agree with that.
Okay, so we go back to your childhood, right? And so you there was this was a household where it was dysfunctional because of the way that your mom and dad communicated with each other, more, you know, mostly your dad. And when you came out of it, like what age were you? And it might have been like 16, it might have been 14, it might have been 10, like. At what point did you walk out and you're conscious enough to say, someday when I'm gone, I'm on my own, I'm doing my thing, I'm choosing my mate, whatever that word is, that I want to make sure I have this one quality, or this one quality has to be in, or maybe it's the other way, that you got to make sure that this particular quality is not in my life?
Mark, that's a great question. I've been interviewed so much, no one's ever asked me that. And I built my whole life around that question you just asked. I was 11 and I was like, what I see, what's going on here, I'm never taking this with me. I'm never going to treat my children this way. I'm never going to treat, if I ever get married, I'm never going to treat my spouse this way. And it stayed with me my entire life because I knew instinctively, it's like God gave us the gift of free will. We know how to communicate. We know right from wrong. We know what is and what isn't. It's innate in us. We know it. It's instinctive. But we don't want to accept that sometimes. I did. When I saw what my mom was going through, I was like, this is not right. And I said, you know what? My brothers and I, we have a great relationship. We're happy together. But there's more to life than that. And I'm going to find it. And so when I graduated and left and went off to college, I was like, never again. And I never had it again because it was a choice. I knew that was their life. It wasn't mine. That was for me to learn from, not live. Mm. That's the difference. And so I took that with me and I've had an amazing life, like a very happy, amazing life after I left their life. A lot of times people forget our childhood. It's not our life. It's what we're born into. It's what we're given to learn from. And then we graduate, we leave that home. That's where we have the choices to say, do you want to repeat that? Or do you want to create your own path? And I chose creating my own path. And I love it because it kind of broke that cycle of having domestic violence in my home and teaching my children to have that. So whatever you take from negative situations, you're going to pass along, if you hold on to it too tightly, to people you love, whether they're family, friends, your children, your husband. And you have to be kind of resolute in making decisions that leave that stuff behind. We have a choice to carry it with us, like a suitcase full of luggage and stuff we don't need, or you can leave that behind and start over again, which is what I did. I said, okay, so that's how they built their life and their relationship. That's how they live, but that's not me. And it never was because it's choice. So we have more power in our decisions and the way we live than we give ourselves credit for. We really do. Sometimes we repeat things because we say, well, this is what we know. Okay, so why don't you do something other than what you've seen? Why don't you make it better? I love my kids more. I spent more time with them. I was kinder and more gentle. You know, they learned about God. And I was brought up in a very Christian household. But that foundation was always there, which kind of helped. Because that's one thing that was always intact. No matter what else was going around, we had that. And I took that because it was good with me. So find the good in a negative situation, which is one of the things I talk about having gratitude for. I learned that. I learned what not to do in a relationship. And I appreciate that. I have gratitude for that. I saw what not to do. It made me better, much better.
Hey, I'm excited to introduce our new partner of the pod, Cascade Mountain Tech, an outdoor brand from the Pacific Northwest, which is where I'm from, that offers a great selection of trekking poles. They're incredible. Super coolers, camp chairs, LED lighting, and much more. Right now, Cascade Mountain Tech is offering 15% off your first order by using the code FINDINGYOURSUMMIT15, that is, FINDINGYOURSUMMIT15, when you check out at CascadeMountainTech.com.
Well, you broke the chain, right?
Yeah,
and that's key. So how long have you been married?
It'd be 12 years.
12 years. Congratulations. That's awesome. And you happen to write a book with your husband called In Our House, Perception Versus Reality. What's that all about?
He is phenomenal. And basically, everything that I do with gratitude or passion inspires greatness, whatever books I write, his hands are all over it with me because we have a lot of joy in our relationship. And sometimes he reminds me of things to share, the way we communicate, the things we do, the things that I offer, advice I give people. And so we kind of share that.
I love that. You just mentioned another book and you're quite the author here. But passion inspires greatness, right? And that is so key for so many people. And I think where I want to get your opinion on this. I think like that sounds really cool. And I think some of the things that I'm doing, I probably had two or three moments in my life, and I'm talking beyond my kids, my two wonderful daughters, but I'm talking like what I'm doing now is climbing mountains and playing football and things like that. Those bring me, I have a tremendous amount of passion that it has inspired. I wouldn't say I'm the greatest of all time, but it's a path towards greatness to be as good as I can possibly be, right? And what it also always circles back down to is like, how do you get that passion? Which always, you know, like when you start peeling the layers of the onion, it comes into your why, and why are you doing this? And if you don't have a strong enough why, then you're not going to quit, right? And so for you advising other people, right, about starting with the passion, and then assuming that if you have the passion, that's going to inspire you to do great things, right? You can be really good at, like, what are the golden nuggets to finding that for somebody who's out there looking? Because there's a lot of folks out there, they're going, you know what? I'm working this 9-to-5 job. My life isn't butterflies and rainbows, and I want it to be. And how do I find that missing link?
You know, that's a good question, because passion inspires greatness. It's funny that you caught on to that, being an athlete.
Yeah.
I actually speak to athletes about that book, D1 football teams and things like that, because I think athletes have a tremendous amount of passion. How do you find it? Ask an athlete. They find it. They connect to something that instinctively they want to do, and they go do it. They go after it. And so if you love flowers and you're fascinated with maybe decorating or design, you know, people tell me all the time, I love music. I'm passionate about music. And I'm like, no, you're not, because you're not doing anything about it. Passion will cause you to instinctively, innately go after it. You're going to go after whatever it is and pursue it. And it inspires you to be great at something you love the most. So I tell people, you know, it's kind of like with football players, when you see them, or basketball players, whatever, they're carrying the basketball. They're always, you know, working out. They're watching football games. They're analyzing it. They're passionate. They're cultivating their craft, their skills, because they love it. They think about it 24/7, you know, every chance they get. But when someone says they're passionate about something, but they're doing something else, they haven't learned how and why they need to pursue that. Because that's what you are meant to be doing, the very thing you love. Why do you think people are out there and they're entertainers who are great entertainers? Because they were passionate about that. They're great athletes because they were passionate about it. There are people that are great in doctors and whatever because they followed their path and the energy that led them to it, which is something like, I can't get it out of my head. This is what I want to do. I don't care if you're a dancer. I don't care if you're a florist, or, you know, you open an ice cream shop. Do what you love. It begins with finding what that is that you love most, and then go in pursuit of it. There's always avenues to catch it, to get that, and cultivate it into what you want it to be. It's your creativity. God has given us all something to be passionate about, more than one thing. I'm passionate about almost everything I do, or I don't do it. If I don't feel something in me that says, oh man, I gotta do this, I need this, I don't want it. I really don't want it. So it's kind of like you learn how to follow and open the door to finding out who you really are. Trust it. Just because you love football and you don't have the skills to be a football player doesn't mean you can't be an analyst. It doesn't mean you can't have a sports show. It doesn't mean you can't do so many other things or work on a team and contribute in some other capacity. It doesn't mean you can't be a sports writer. So people don't understand. It doesn't mean there's only one way to fulfill that passion. It means that if you're passionate about it, you'll find a way to fulfill it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've been really honing in on recently, just because it's kind of followed me into the mountains, and certainly it was my path in football, and I wouldn't say so much business, even though I've had some successful companies that I've built up, but it really had to do, again, with the first and last on the mountains and the NFL, but or playing football, which is I truly love the process, right? Mm-hmm. And that is what, and I used to always joke with people as though I would for sure play in the NFL for free. Now I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I got paid. But you know, it was to that point where I just don't want to come off the field, but more so not just so much being in the game and catching the touchdown and all that kind of stuff, was working out in the weight room, running up the mountain, getting on the bike, doing all that kind of stuff. And it's just, and I think that is what separates you from being good and from being great.
Absolutely.
From me, right?
Absolutely. Oh, for me too. You've got it right.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So I know we're talking a lot about gratitude. We're talking about passion. We're talking about, you know, inspiration, things like that. What are the things that you're passionate about that have inspired you towards greatness?
One of the things I see is that I was always passionate about the way I treat people and how people need to be treated. And I love to teach them and share things that can help them just have encouragement every day. One of the things I always wanted is when I was a child, I was like looking and searching for ways to make my life better, to be inspired, to be happier. And when you figure that out, that you can do it, you don't need to rely on someone to do it. It made me say, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to insert something in people's lives that I didn't have, but I learned to do. So I share a lot on my social media platforms of just little things every day that kind of will make you challenge yourself to be better or make you realize that you can do something, that you can overcome adversity. Adversity is basically an obstacle that's going to make you stronger. You're going to get through it. You're going to get through it one way or another, but it's your choice how you come out on the other side. That's the key. So I'm passionate about writing and sharing people's stories as a ghostwriter. I'm passionate about sharing inspiration that makes people say, wow, I needed that. You wrote that for me today. This is perfect. Because there's little ways to recalibrate your mindset. And Mark, if we do that every day, just beginning with something that's inspirational and encouraging and uplifting, it can set the path and change your frame of mind for the entire day if you choose to let it. And so I love doing that for people. That's what I talk to people about. That's what I enjoyed most.
Yeah, no, that's great. So give me one example of a tidbit where your passion for inspiring people or a person through a post that you've done has come back 50x because that person came back to you and then said, you know what? I was down this day because of X, Y, Z, and because of whatever you said, blah, 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 it just made me rethink the world. And I came back and I'm so thankful for you sharing that.
I have, I'll give you two, actually. They're both brief. One is a young individual that was about to take their life and they saw a post that I put up there. Mm. And I put the post up and I never really post in the evening, but I happened to put it up that evening because it was on my heart to do so. And when I got up the next morning, I had tons of emails and in there was a post that said, I was going to take my life tonight and I saw this and you saved me. And I communicate with that individual all the time. So it kind of made me say, I never know who receives what I share, but that's what I'm passionate about is making a difference in someone's life. And, you know, it's kind of, it changes the way we think. Sometimes people say, well, I don't have anything to give to anyone. Sure you do. Your time. You show people you care. And I like people, you read my timeline, it's nothing on there but love, inspiration, encouragement, you know, and ways to overcome adversity every single day. Yeah. And so the other is a gentleman who asked me to pray for his wife. He didn't have faith, but through my timeline and what I share, he said, I know you're a woman of God and I don't know how to pray, but can you pray for me? Because her you know, odds weren't good. And I asked her name, he told me her name, and I said, I actually talked to God, so I'm going to do that. And he hit me about a month later and said she was completely cancer free. And he writes me, I mean, he's on my timeline like every day. And it's kind of, you just have to believe in good things. You know, having gratitude is appreciate the good and the bad. There's lessons in everything, but it's like appreciate the journey. One day we'll be done with it. Enjoy it.
Well, and you know, there's just such a infectious spirit around the world of positivity, right? Yeah. That you can do. And I think like what you were just talking about, this great story about you prayed for this particular person and they were cancer-free, the story about whatever you posted had a profound effect upon somebody who was going to take their life and didn't. It seems like it really validates what you're doing. Like you're on the right path and you were put on this earth to be doing exactly what you're doing. And that's not only saving souls, but also just giving everybody. And I say this all the time. People go, Mark, you're so inspirational because you're climbing. I'm like, you can go out and you can do the exact same stuff that I'm doing. And I'm not trying to be inspirational. It's just my passion. It's what I love. But if you choose to be inspired by that, you know, awesome. I'm still going to go out every day. I'm still going to post. I'm still going to show you what I love to do. And if you want to follow that journey, that's awesome. If you don't, that's awesome too. But, you know, just, you know, I don't know. There's so much beauty that's out there. And a lot of it where I got it from, and you remind me a lot of her, is my mother. And she's 82. She's still teaching kindergarten. And we call her Mary Poppins.
I love it. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. This little Christian school. Yeah, it's great. So I want to ask you one final question. So let's go back to where we started about Oprah. naming you, calling you, addressing you as one of the five ambassadors of hope. Did you actually go on her show, or how did that whole thing come about?
I just received a call, and they asked me to be, you know, I said, hey, she's been reading what you're sharing and she sees what you're doing and she wants to know if you'll be her ambassador of hope. And I was like, okay, thanks. Hung up the phone. I didn't.
But what did that mean? Do you get like checks in the mail or what happened?
No money. But it's basically they were inspired. You know, she was inspired by the work that I'm doing, by inserting what I've learned throughout my life to help others. We all have something that we go through, whether it's tragic or even if it's great, that we can offer other people to help their lives be better. And she noticed I was doing that and said, you know, there are five women at the time that she gave that honor to worldwide. And I tell you, I do use it because I have gratitude for her naming me that, because it has given me a platform. Oprah has done that, where it's allowed people to pay attention to me a little bit more with that. And doing so, I've been able to make a difference, a bigger difference. And I love that. And I think that's what it's about, is that we should use what we have to help others be able to continue doing good in some capacity. And she paid it forward, you know, doing that with me. And so I continued to share those messages and encourage people. It's like, I don't do anything. I just believe for them. I just pray for them. I just encourage them and inspire them. And if you believe too, you're going to see a difference. We're so busy believing in the negative. Why not believe in the positive? Yeah. You'd be surprised what you wouldn't miss anymore. You'd see a lot of good.
Well, it's also a good story about how she acknowledged you, and then you turn around and you're trying to acknowledge others, because whatever she did for you, and platform and encouragement and positivity and all that stuff, you know, you can do for others in the way of encouragement, inspiration, passion, gratitude, all those great words that fall into that bucket of happiness, right?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because people don't realize, they say, no one ever did anything for me. No one ever gave me an opportunity. Well, you know, when she named the five of us her ambassadors of hope worldwide, what does that mean? You say thank you and go away, or you build a platform around it and you use it for good. She gave us an opportunity to do that, each of us. Yeah. And so this was my giving back, saying, wow, she recognized what I was doing and respected that so much that she gave me this, you know, honor. I'm going to continue what I'm doing and make it worthwhile and make it work for others and help people and encourage people. And even back years ago, I had a brain surgery. And I wasn't able to communicate for a while. But before I had the surgery, I had written out the quotes and the things that I wanted to put up on my timeline. And I had given them to my daughter and asked her to put one up each day, because no one knew I was having brain surgery. So I didn't want to miss helping people. And when I was able to read again and begin writing again, and I read the messages, I saw that I was impacting people, even though I wasn't even there. And we have the ability to touch lives and shape lives and encourage people that need it. There's so many people that need a kind word or something that can make them smile and say, I can do this. All of us can do that. You climbing mountains and telling people what you do makes someone somewhere say, you know what? I'm going to go on my journey. I'm going to do this. If he can do that, I'm going to do it. That's what it's about. Pay it forward over and over again.
I love that. And I'm still waiting for Oprah to call me. She hasn't, but I will continue to inspire and climb mountains around the world, you know, because that's what I know how to do. Listen, I so appreciate you coming on the pod to express your attitude of gratitude, to spread happiness and inspire others to do and be the best that they can be.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's great. And thank you for what you do, helping people find ways to overcome adversity, because we do live in a challenging world, but there's always a solution in some capacity. And sometimes just hearing a whisper of how they can try something else can change and make a difference for someone. So
it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And you know, for me, I would not be here if I hadn't gone through this rough time. I mean, and I want to like scream that at the top of my lungs for those who are going through a tough time, right? That through this adversity can come joy and happiness and all the other things that you probably want at the time that you're actually going through these things. Where can people find you?
You know what? I'm online on social media, every platform pretty much, on Twitter, Instagram. You can grab me there and say hello. I'm there all the time and I respond to everyone. I get up early and respond to my emails and just let people know I see them.
Give us some context. Where can they actually go, type in and find you?
Marala Scott, M-A-R-A-L-A-S-C-O-T-T. You can find me anywhere on my website, marilascott.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Say hello. Add me. I'll say hello.
Love it. Love it. All right. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic day. Look forward to seeing your stuff into the future. She is Marala Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, thank you so much for dropping in and listening to another amazing episode of Finding Your Summit. Truly incredible people doing spectacular things in life. And I hope you were inspired just like I continue to be. Look, I am super grateful that you came in and subscribed to this pod and would be more than appreciative if you gave the show a ratings and review on iTunes. Trust me, it matters. And then also go share it with your friends, of course. Okay, until next week, go do something great. And remember, it takes a little more to make a champion. Bye. Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.